Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I meet with military veterans to learn about their civilian career, what it is they do, how on earth they got there, and advice for any other veterans seeking to do the same. Today is episode number 242 with Prime Hall.
For me, my weakness was running because I went in, I was like 230 pounds, and so I was kind of screwed from the beginning on that one. But I was good in the water, so what I would do is I would help out my teammates, and we would take our buddies from the class, and we would go train playing this game on the weekends, and everybody gained a lot of water confidence out of it. Extremely effective, just as it was with our lifeguards before. We all love playing it. It's fun at the same time.
Well, today's interview is a first for me, and I don't mean a first in the 241 interviews I've done so far, a first in my life, I'm pretty sure. The guest today on the show, Prime Hall, started a new sport. Not only did he start a new sport, because maybe people listening have invented some drunken game that, you know, I've probably done the same thing. His sport is being used for training MMA fighters, NFL players, and even Olympic swimmers just a year after bringing this sport to fruition. In this interview, we first talk about advice to those who are facing an unexpected transition from the military, as Prime did himself. We talk about what it's like to start a new sport and get a company off the ground while pursuing an MBA at the same time. And we also talk about what it's like to start a nonprofit organization. There's a lot of great info in here for those of you interested in a compelling story or interested in entrepreneurship. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you will find show notes for this episode, including a text transcript thanks to Kathleen Dillon. You'll also find over 241 episodes, all completely free and on demand for you to help you in your civilian career. Please spread the word. An iTunes review is always greatly appreciated. And check out our coaching program. At beyondtheuniform.io, you will find a coaching program where we connect you with trained, certified, and subsidized professional career executive coaches who will help you figure out your next career move, whether that's deciding whether or not to get out of the military, whether that's deciding after 5 years of being out of the military what you want to do next. They are an incredible and unbiased sounding board to help you figure out your values, to help you figure out what you are needing right now. I work with an executive coach. I've done so for over 5 years, every other week. It is an incredible resource, and I'm really proud to offer this to the Beyond the Uniform audience. So with that, let's dive in, double pun this time, not only because I was on submarines, but because Prime, his sport is called Underwater Torpedo League. So we will dive into this interview with Prime Hall. Joining me today in Oceanside, California, is Prime Hall. Prime, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks for having me, Justin. Appreciate it.
So for listeners, Prime is the founder of Underwater Torpedo League. He served in the Marine Corps for 12 years, 4 years in the infantry, and as a water survival instructor, then 8 years as a Marine Raider. He is the executive director of the Marine Raider Challenge, and he's also currently finishing up his MBA at USC. So, Prime, maybe to start things off, could you talk us through what your transition was like from the Marine Corps to a civilian career?
Yeah, I mean, it was a little bit straightforward. Up front, I was medically separated. So I had L5 S1 herniated disc, and then some blast injury stuff. And so, once I got an MRI, because I kept throwing my back out. But once I got that MRI, then they ran some other tests, and then after that, they put me on a medical, separation board.
What was that like? I mean, a lot of people listening to the podcast have time to prepare and get ready for that transition, but it seems like this was unexpected and kind of you were thrown into it. Any advice to people who find themselves in a similar situation?
Yeah, I mean, if it's clear that like you're getting out, then you need to like put all your efforts into getting out and really figuring out what you're going to do on the other side. So for anyone that's in the military, it's easy to get feeling like you're institutionalized or dependent on your being in the military or the government or whatever that is and whatever that provides for you and your family. But, if you're getting out, you're getting out. You need to put all your efforts towards that. So figuring out what your skills are, what your experience and kind of what life's conditioned you to be, and then what you like to do. And like, not just like what you like to do in the military, but what you like to do when you're a kid, before you joined, now, and when you're getting out, and kind of put, start creating some roadmaps for yourself.
And if you were to run into someone on the street who is currently serving in the military and they asked you what you do, how would you describe the Underwater Torpedo League?
I'd say it's a fast-growing sport. We launched it a year ago here in the civilian, quote-unquote civilian world in Southern California. But, this is stuff that's originated from military training anyway. So underwater survival, underwater skills and water confidence is all stuff that's been trained at all different dive schools and water survival stuff, forever. So we use the object of our game as a torpedo. So it's all played underwater. Our championships are played at 14 feet. But what you see is like 5-on-5 at a time with substitutes going at it against each other underwater with two miniature hockey goals sunken on either side of the deep end, and it's all underwater. So basically everyone's playing on, whatever breath hold they just got. So if anyone needs to come up for air, they just come up, and if they have the torpedo, they have to ditch it before they come up. So and it's really a minimalist type sport. The rules are very simple. We do play with in-water safeties and referees that are trained and certified by us. But it's pretty simple. There's no gear. It's just swimsuit, goggles. And so it's all natural swimming abilities underwater. And it makes it fairly simple. And so the water also keeps the game pretty simple and honest. Because it's an equalizer. So the only thing that we don't allow, goggle ripping, pulling on any type of bathing suits or pulling an individual that doesn't have the torpedo, and then no single limb submissions. Those are kind of the biggest rules.
What's the torpedo, like what's the size of it and how much does that weigh?
Yeah, so the torpedo is about 12 inches long and it weighs about 1.5 pounds. It's the company that makes it is Swimways. And the torpedoes have been around for over 25 years now. So if you can imagine, anyone that has an imagination that's had these in a pool has created some type of weird keep away or something like that. And then it evolves to us having it at a pool when I was a water survival instructor here at Camp Pendleton about 10 years ago or so, when I was waiting to go into Marine Raiders. And we were playing with bricks, playing keep away, playing with a torpedo, playing this similar type of thing, but like instead of a goal, playing against like where you touch the wall,
Yep.
And then we saw how that developed confidence, high level water confidence with our instructors. And it's also extremely fun and team oriented game. And it's like full accountability.
Is it like, so let's say you have the torpedo. Am I trying to rip that out of your hands, or are you passing it? Is it like kind of like, I'm trying to picture like ultimate frisbee versus football versus, what's the model here?
Yeah. Okay. So if you and I were on a team,
yep,
and we're playing two other people, we'll just say that to keep it simple.
Yep.
So you and I start off on our net. We're protecting our net and we're trying to score on the net that's in front of us that our opponents are treading water over or hanging over. So when the referee throws it off, we're going as fast as we can to get the torpedo so that they don't get it. But if I get it, then I'm going to pass it off to you so that you can score, or I'm going to try to score, however that works. But then if they get it, then you and I are trying to rip the torpedo from them, like to cause a fumble underwater.
Yep.
Or we're trying to intercept it if they're passed to their other guy. You and I are trying to intercept, and then we're trying to go for the score.
And you could pass it to me, and I just start. Right? I could start swimming, like I could just start booking it for the goal. And then if I got to take a breath, I just got to drop the torpedo, grab a breath, and hopefully either you grab the torpedo or I make it back down before someone steals it.
Exactly.
Huh? Where you know?
And then you could even wait down there by the goal if you wanted.
Yep.
And then whenever I was able to get a steal or to get an interception or to, you know, wait them out and get it, then I could just pass it to you and you would have the quick score. But however we wanted to strategize to make it happen with our skills and kind of comfort levels, that's kind of the name of the game. So it's all teamwork and it's all strategy once you get into the game.
How long is it, like a time limit or a number of points? Because I'm just trying to figure out, like, how long are people doing this for?
So the championships are played best 2 out of 3 games, and each match is up to 5 points.
Okay, man. So it's not like because then, you know, it seems like a key part of the strategy is your ability to just hold your breath. So you gotta pace yourself, because if you start panting, then you're done for the game. So it's like almost like you can't just go all out and just be gasping for breath, right?
Yeah, I mean, you have to really strategize, but at the same time, a big part of it is, to give you an example, like, I'm a very negatively buoyant person, right? And so I didn't grow up being a swimmer, so I wasn't swimming laps, and I don't have really the body type of a swimmer. But we do have swimmer types that play with us, and so in that sense, they are the forwards. They're on the outsides, they're the wings that go up, and they're the fast movers. Me, I'm in the center because I'm the defense and kind of the goalie. So I am negatively buoyant. So all I have to do is like one clap and I'm down at the bottom of the pool. And then I can do whatever I need to do. It takes me no energy. So then I'm down there for however long, and then I come back up and get a couple more breaths, go back down, do it again. So I figured out a way that works for me with my body type to make it manageable and to make it effective. And so you're just trying to do that with each person, with what their body type is, what their swim level is, and put them into the best position, just like basketball or football or anything else.
Are you doing tactics to like get better at holding your breath? Is like Wim Hof method like coming into this, or are you just working on cardio, or how do you get better at staying underwater?
Yeah, so the key principles that we work on the advanced side is focus. So the acronym is FREE, to keep it simple. But F, focus, R, relaxation, E, economy of motion, and the last E is efficient breathing. So we work a lot on different breathing techniques, upper regulation, priming the pump, and then as we get our mental focus, we're lowering our heart rate and bringing our heart rate down by deep inhales, deep exhales, or like, for example, 5 seconds in, exhale for 10 seconds. You know, and that actually lowers our heart rate, and testing out new things like that. But everything is kind of keeping our finger on the pulse of our CO2 tolerance and where our heart rate is at. And then each time we do one of these things, we obviously have a buddy and a guardian with us anytime that we're doing any training. But when we come up on the other side of whatever lane or training that we're doing, it's always like recover, recover. And that whole time we're lowering our heart rate, getting our focus for the next thing, and getting ready to go, you know? There's a bunch of different techniques that you can do, like purge your CO2, like cleaning your dirty air out before you take a big breath. And then, I mean, this, there's all different types. There's so many different breathing coaches and different people that have hit us up in the last year, but there's all different kind of, you can go down this whole rabbit hole, but it's interesting. One of the things that we found, for example, is that, like, you know, you ask people, how long can you hold your breath, or how long does it take you to take a full breath from empty? And they're like, oh, 1-2 seconds. Some people say maybe five. And I'm like, okay, how long do you think it takes a free diver to take a full breath when he's going to go down the 300 feet? Like 20, 25 seconds. And they're like, wow, well, how? And I'm like, well, you blow it all out, and then you start from the stomach and you fill your stomach up first, and then you move up to your chest and you go all the way up. And so then I'll do it and I can breathe. I'm not at the point right now where I can do even a 20 second, but because I'm not a free diver, but I'm at the point where just like a little bit of practice, I can do like a 17-18 second breath in. But that just goes to show you, if we're all taking 3-4 second breaths and we can take an 18 second, there's a lot more that we could be doing. You know what I mean?
What I think I can say with confidence, you're the first person I've spoken with on or off the show who's created a new sport. Where does this come from? Like, how does one, what's the story of coming up with the idea, but then also saying, like, look, we're going to actually turn this into a business, a real thing?
Yeah, so I was a water survival instructor at Camp Horno, Camp Pendleton, as a Marine. And that was, like, the whole point of that was because I needed some extra skills to go into special operations in the water. So I was able to, you know, be an instructor there, get a lot of reps in, you know, training people and running people through training there, like thousands of Marines throughout that year. So, you know, you get all those reps, you start getting these different, like, you know, building these different principles and kind of things that work and things that don't work in your head. And then that stuck with me. I went to, and I was with my co-founder for UTL, is Don Tran. So he was at the pool with me at that time. We all went to Marine Raider training on the East Coast. And so I believe we were in like the fourth class. And so we had a really high attrition rate. But one of the things that we did was, you know, for me, my weakness was running, because I went in, I was like 230 pounds. And so I was kind of screwed from the beginning on that one. But I was good in the water. So what I would do is I would help out my teammates, and we would take our buddies from the class, and we would go train playing this game on the weekends, you know. And everybody gained a lot of water confidence out of it. You know, it was extremely effective, just as it was with our lifeguards before. And we all love playing it. It's fun at the same time. And it's team building, you know?
That's awesome. And you know, since then, we'll kind of come back to this, but since then, you've gained a lot of momentum. Could you talk about where UTL is at now, and then kind of what your ultimate goal is?
Yeah, and well, so we started here a year ago, about a year and 2 months ago, in Southern California. And our proof of concept season was, you know, this didn't exist. There was no underwater torpedo league or anywhere to play it. And this has been an underground thing for us for 10 years. So we wanted to make it a thing. So we started the first two teams. One was in Oceanside and the other in San Clemente. And we did a 2 month season as a beta test, and we filled both of the teams, and then we had our first Aqua Bowl, which was last February, and that was this last February, and that was our first season. So from that we added more teams, so now we have four full teams up and down in San Diego and Orange County. And then we have about 11 different pools and training locations that we run. We're currently expanding into Los Angeles. So we're starting locations at University of Southern California and then UCLA pools. And then from there, we're moving into Bay Area and Vegas. We also do UTL Elite,
that's actually what I was going to level. Yeah, I was going to ask about that next, because from what I understand, you guys are now training MMA fighters, NFL players, and like Olympic swimmers. So this is, could you share more about UTL Elite?
Yeah. So one thing is, this is kind of like a little bit, because it is a new thing, it's a little bit of, you know, create your own adventure. And one thing that we've been fortunate of is, different people have hit us up to do training with them. So everything, we've just been testing out all these different things, training all these groups of people. So we've trained probably over 1,500, but easily over 1,000 swimmers and athletes over the last year, and just running all these different tests. So over this last summer, we got contacted to run an NFL off-season program. And so that was with some NFL, like, that just kind of fell in our lap, but we ran it. It was 6 weeks, and it was extremely successful. So we ended up, you know, having a lot of gains with these guys, and just a really good vibe with the training and the culture of the, you know, of the program. So that was we had Manti Te'o, Christian Kirksey as the captain of the Browns, Micah Hyde, and a bunch of other, Brock Hecking, who stayed with us. Brock Hecking is a linebacker transitioning out of the NFL right now from the LA Chargers, and he's one of our coaches as well. But so that after that, then some Olympic coaches came, and then we started training Team Elite, which is ran by Coach David Marsh, Olympic coach. And that's all of the Olympic swimmers that are training for Tokyo in 2020. And so we get to train with them when they're here, sometimes on a weekly basis, but on a monthly basis. And then after that, we started training MMA fighters. So we got Manti Te'o was one of our NFL players who went to high school with the Lima Lay McFarlane, who's the flyweight champ for Bellator. And so he connected us with her, and we've been training her for several months now, and that was a huge success as well. And then with that, we started training her boyfriend, Nick, who just had his pro debut at Bellator in Hawaii. We just got back from Hawaii. We were at the fights this weekend. So both of our fighters won. And then our next fighter is Liz Carmouche. She's a UFC fighter. She has a fight in February 26th. She's a high, high level individual. She was actually a Marine as well. And she was the first female title bout. She dislocated Ronda Rousey's jaw, and Ronda ended up coming back with an armbar.
That's insane. I mean, it's it's a lot of traction for just a year and change to be doing that. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, I mean, it's a grind. It's moving fast, but it's all worth it. And we train with individuals that we want to train with, people that their wheels turn really fast. They're high level professionals. They're respectful, and they're just there. Like, we call it a no flex zone. So no one there is there to kind of compete with other people. We're in competition with ourselves, and we're all just trying to get the most out of training every day and try to help each other to meet each other's goals every single time and continue to get to the next level. And so that's probably the number one thing that we do, is set the culture within every training session. We get in a circle of trust. Doesn't matter if this is the league or the elite or whoever it is, we get in a circle of trust, and we all go around and talk about why we're there, what our background is, what we want to get out of the day. And then the rest of the time is spent trying to match or exceed those goals.
That's incredible. What about, could you share a little bit more? You're pursuing your MBA right now at USC. What's it like, pursuing an MBA while at the same time getting a company off the ground?
Honestly, it's a win-win, because it's kind of like a life integration thing. Because since I got out, and I honestly didn't have that much confidence when I got out, because I got out on a medical board, and that's, if anyone's been through that, it sucks. You're in like a million medical appointments, and you go from being in your job and thinking that or feeling valuable to like just going to medical appointments. And it can be depressing. So then getting into the MBA was like a transition course almost. Cause it was like, as soon as I got out, 2 months later, I was in, which was good. Cause then it's just been a bunch of confidence targets with the different communication, presenting, the high level, like my MBA classmates and teammates are extremely high level people that I've gained a lot from, and hopefully I've been able to help them as well. But every assignment that I have, I try to make it integrate it into something that I'm doing in real life. So I'm not just doing stuff to do stuff or extra work. I'll try to make everything effective. So if I'm going to do a go forward plan on a company, I'll try to do it on like UTL, if that makes sense.
And, this is, you're clearly not someone who likes to be bored, because in addition to starting a new sport and company, obtaining your MBA, you're also an executive director of the Marine Raider Challenge. Could you share a little bit more about Marine Raider Challenge and the work you do there?
Yeah. So Marine Raider Challenge has some of the some of the same individuals from UTL. So the idea came from my buddy Derek Herrera, who was my team leader in Afghanistan, and has he was wounded with us in Afghanistan, and then has gotten out and launched his own medical device company here in Southern California called Spinal Singularity. But he's the one that contacted me as I was getting out to do the Raider Challenge. Initially, it was just asking me to go and see if I could get the permits from the city. And so I went and did that, and then it ended up, you know, 5 months later, me being the director. I didn't even know what a nonprofit was at that point. So it's kind of been like a learn as you go thing. But, you know, the city of San Clemente has been huge. The mayors, all of the city council, and then, you know, just different people that have stepped up to support us and make sure that all of our events have gone off, you know, because the Raider Challenge is the biggest event that they've ever permitted in Orange County, well, in San Clemente and then South Orange County. So it took like, you know, four different permitting agencies to approve. So for a new event, that was, you know, that was the biggest struggle. But now that it's approved, we had last year was our first iteration. So we flew this last President's Day, we flew in 30 special operations guys, or if they were local, they just came out to San Clemente, and we hosted a multi-sport event where it's like a 2K. So they came out, we had Gold Star family members and a bunch of different people from our community there. And then, you know, probably 60 plus volunteers from an organization called the USD Hero Club here. But anyway, so we kicked them off, and they did a 2K ocean fin in buddy pairs. They're in buddy pairs the whole event. 2K ocean fin, they get back, they change over into their hiking gear for the day, and then they took off on a 12-mile run through the city. They wrapped all the way around, and then they came in at the pool and had to change over and do some stuff at 14 feet that was like ran by our UTL staff. And then once they got done with that, they got back out, changed back over, went to the field, and finished with a field event. And so it was like an all-day thing. We had a bunch of cool sponsors, and, you know, it went off well. That was our first event. And then we ended up running two more events last year, but we're coming up on our second annual Raider Challenge here in February 16th. So I'm pretty stoked at where it's gone. Initially, if anyone knows, like Marine Raiders, everyone said when we started that, the op tempo, operational tempo is too high, so it's going to be hard to get anyone to show up. And when we had our first one, it was like, you know, jam packed. And so every event we've had has gone off. So
I'm stoked
about that. And then it's a big part. It's all of our team that works on it. It's not just me. It's a lot of people. I just go to some of the meetings and help with certain things. But our entire team and my buddy Rick and Don, both Raiders, helped start it. Pete Perry, who's one of the board members. So a bunch of different people.
If someone listening is excited, they're fired up about either UTL or the Marine Raider Challenge, and they want to either be involved or just support you in some way, what's your ask for listeners? Anything they can do to support you?
Yeah, I mean, I would say just go to any of our social medias or websites. For UTL, it's UTLNation.com, and then just Google Underwater Torpedo League, and it'll take you to our Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, etc. We're currently expanding into Los Angeles, so any contacts to help with that, or Bay Area, Vegas, those are the next stops. And then for Raider Challenge, any special operations personnel looking to come out and take part in the events this year, go to MarineRaiderChallenge.org or go to our Instagram and follow us, send us a message, whatever.
And the last question I always like to ask before we wrap up is, we've covered a lot of ground today, but what have we not talked about that you want to make sure listeners know before we wrap up?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say that, you know, a big part of a big part of anything that I'm doing is because it's because of the teams that are around me with all the different stuff. So I like to give a huge thanks to my wife, Brittany, my co-founder, Don Tran, Rick Breer, Brock Hecking, and then all of the individuals from our teams out here in Southern California. And then also, you know, a big part, like from my upbringing and then going into all the different experiences that I had in the military, a big part of it is the teams that I was on, especially in Marine Raiders. So A131, A143, all those guys that I was with, and the experiences that we had, Derek Herrera, for bringing me into the Raider Challenge and being a great mentor to me, and all the other solid mentors that I've had that have been a good sounding board for me since I got out. And then this USC, University of Southern California, has been super supportive of not only us, but our team and Underwater Torpedo League and making sure that it goes off.
Awesome. Well, good.
The last thing that I will say is our biggest goal is I've talked about the expansion and all the different training that we do. But our goal right now is to take this as an Olympic sport. So the first underwater Olympic sport is supposed to be fin swimming. And if you look at the origin of the Olympics, we just don't believe that that falls within that gladiator type sport. So what we do is full minimalist. It's just your natural swimming abilities, and it's gladiator underwater. And so what we're doing is 2020, we're working to get to the Olympics in Tokyo as a spectator sport or a demonstration. So that would look like a halftime show in between the swim events. But in 2024, we'd like to come back as an aquatic sport or discipline. So that's our goal. That's what we like to make sure that we put out to everyone, because that's what we're working to in everything that we're doing.
That's awesome. Well, congratulations on the incredible traction. This is for listeners who have listened to other entrepreneurial episodes. It's not this common to get this massive amount of traction this early in a company's growth. So congratulations on that. And thank you for sharing your story today with the Beyond the Uniform audience.
Surface.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Beyond the Uniform. There are over 200 free episodes at beyondtheuniform.io. They're classified by the industry of focus, the functional role the person plays, and more. Beyond the Uniform is hosted, produced, and edited by me, Justin Asiri. Our director of outreach, responsible for sponsorship and guest episodes, is Steve Bain. Our editor, responsible for the show notes and text transcripts for all episodes, is Kathleen Dillon. Our data analytics and insights advisor is Andrew Woolridge. If you are enjoying Beyond the Uniform, you can help us out by telling your veterans and friends in the military about this free resource. There is more information on the website about how you can sponsor an episode or donate to our program to help us grow the work that we're doing. Be sure to check out the coaching section of beyondtheuniform.io, where you can be paired with professional, subsidized coaches to help you figure out your next career move. You can sign up for our newsletter to be up to date on the latest happenings at Beyond the Uniform. And in each show notes section, there is a link to audible.com, which is providing a free audiobook of your choice to Beyond the Uniform listeners. You get a free book of your choosing, and Beyond the Uniform gets $15 to subsidize the cost of the show, regardless of whether you continue with audible.com or not. Check that out and more in the show notes for this episode. Keep the feedback coming. Let me know what resources would help you in your career, and we'll do our best to make that happen. Take care, be safe, and I'll be back next week with more interviews with military veterans about their civilian career.